Welcome to Thursday Lines. I'm your host, Scoot, and we've had a couple of technical difficulties, so I may look like an alien this week. My mouth might be moving, my brain might be going a little bit faster or slower, depending on what feed. If you're tuning in from Orange, it might be just natural delay. But here we are. We're going to get the show underway, and it's a fearless look at AFL and NRL for the week. I've got MG in studio. How are you, MG?
Very good, Scooty. Good to have football back. We get a full slate this week, but very good four games that we had to kick off, and it was good to see the crowds got around them in the northern states.
Yeah, controversial. A lot of Melbourne rusted on football fans, not really happy with the soft start, but there was nothing soft about the start for Rugby League. Nick Tedeschi, who joins us from Orange. How are you, mate?
Wow, you know, I'm great. Oh, it was 50 minutes ago, Scoot. It was great then. We're a full round down now. The bigness is in the rearview mirror. We had the rest of the round one games last week, and footy returns in a full this week. So yeah, up and about, great week for the footy and great week for the pump.
I'm sure the NRL will be happy to push the racism saga aside. Interesting that 8 week suspension is pretty big when you have a look at Jimmy Webster. So a little bit of a scapegoat type scenario, but you did remind me there was an incident many years ago, and someone got what, eight to 12 weeks, was it?
Oh, which is so this was the John Awadi or Paul Gallen for a long time
Paul Gallen
for some racial abuse. Well, the NRL and rugby league has always been at the forefront of pushing Indigenous relations in Australia. The first Australian international was Indigenous. The first Australian captain of any sport was Indigenous, and at no stage in rugby league history have Indigenous players have their C cards stolen by their coaches. So I wouldn't get too deep into firing pot shots at the NRL. I think 8 weeks was probably a fair result in the end. But he had a couple of suspension. There's no two ways about it.
And the Johan Hopewade finger incident, probably the world record for rugby league. So that was 20 weeks, I think. But MG,
wasn't even close to the world before. Players copped a year and a half back in the 80s, like for elbows there. But Les Void copped a year and a half. Bob Cooper copped a long time. So there was some big suspensions back in the day. You 20 weeks is nothing.
Can't recall the longest suspension in AFL. MG, off the top of your head?
No, more discipline, I would have thought. I'm not sure there's been too many above 10 weeks. They seem to get a bit up and about once it gets to about that 8 stage scoop. But, more discipline in our sport, I think.
Outstanding. Just a reminder, our show is brought to you by topsport.com.au and puntingform.com.au. And let's have a quick look at the AFL Premiership prices, courtesy of Top Sport, and we'll have a quick chat about that. Collingwood $5.50, Brisbane Lions $6, $6 GWS Giants, $7 the Blues. I guess they're the big mover. Sydney Swans $9, the D's $10, and then Port Adelaide $11. If we have a look at the NRL market, we've got a little bit of movement there. Also, we've got Panthers $4.20, Brisbane Broncos $4.80, Sydney Roosters $7, Storm on the move at $8, Manly Sea Eagles $13, and South Sydney $13. Cowboys a little shortener there now, $16. And then you've got the Sharks and Warriors sharing that $17 line. MG, slight loss for you for your tip package this week. So 5 units bet and a 0.3 unit loss. So slow out of the blocks for you, but top rope. You were anchoring your hopes on Craig Bellamy, who's just the first up specialist. You'd love him to be a racehorse trainer. He'd just be pinging them first up off a spell. But 32 and a half units you sent out there with a 6.24 unit profit, so 19.2%. So great for the subscribers there. So make sure you head to littlebirdie.live if you need some help with your AFL and NRL betting. So this is just, I guess, an entree. But if you want a burger with a lot, make sure you get to the Little Birdie shop, and these guys preview all the games in great depth, and they always also offer some exotic options as well. So if you like a bit of flair in your first try scorers or goal kickers or same game multi options, which most of these new age punters absolutely love, there's plenty of meat on the bone there. Given the technical delays, well, I think we're just going to head straight into the NRL, and we're going to go straight into Thursday night's action, Broncos versus Rabbitohs at Suncorp. Odds courtesy of Top Sport, $1.36 the Broncos, big mover here, $3.15 the Rabbits, and the line zipped out to 8.5. It's just all one-way traffic here, and 40.5 for the total top rope. Obviously, Jai Arrow's out for an extended period top rope, but not looking good for the monies.
And fourth place, scooch straight into it. Yeah, it's a tough ask for the Bunnies this week. You know, a tough draw. I can consider it would be 2-6, 2-7 come around 9 up there. They've got a very, very difficult draw. The coach, Jason Mitro, is already under the cosh. No Jair or no. Hard to be against Brisbane in this spot. They're both back from Vegas, but now South have to travel again. And the Broncos, that covered 11 of 14 of a double-digit loss when they're playing at home. 15-5 against the number, home off a loss or stop. So, lead towards the Broncos, my side, half their best bet in the game, though, probably the under angles everywhere, notably under where round two team travels in the state, 64.2% and 59.2% when they're round two games both nights. So, slightly in the under, slightly in the Broncos, not a huge betting game, but that'll be why we're playing.
And I see that you got Selwyn Cobbo as a good matchup for an anytime try scorer.
Yeah, you want to be on their centres against the South centres, which you came out and other attacks, but both, well, the starters can't tackle and then do silly things in the fence. So big issues there. Cobbo's a genuine try scorer. I'll be backing him and Stags and little same game multi for the Rick Slayer punters out there. That'll pay you a better part of $7 there. So Stags and Cobbo.
The big match on Friday night is Penrith Panthers versus the Parramatta Eels. $1.37 here. Penrith Panthers looking to bounce back after they lost to Storm. Parramatta Eels, $3.10, 7.5 the line. It's into a 185, the minus there, and the total's 35.5.
Yeah, plenty of rain expected for this one, Stuart. But you mentioned the key words in your intro there. Bounce back. Panthers have covered 12 or 15 off the loss in the last three seasons when they're at Bluebet, 6-0 against the spread off the loss. So they're 21-10 against the number at Bluebet, full stop, 16-8 against the number, but when favoured by 6.5 or more at Bluebet. Eels played Panthers as well, anyone. They beat them twice last year, but the knock on them is that Mitchell Moses, their kind of key playmaker, suffered a pretty bad groin injury last week. I'm surprised he was named this week. He was struggling. He's unlikely to goal kick. Unlikely to kick as much in play as Norman would, but I think Panthers have things.
Is there a chance to miss the game entirely?
Some chance, but I expect to play. They're looking at their bench, they haven't named any of any backups. They're probably going to play, but he'll be happy. And he can't be happy against the Panthers.
Key areas of concern with Penrith last week against the Storm?
No, look, they lost round one last year, the Broncos. They lost the World Cup Challenge prior to that as well. So I'm not overly concerned with where Penrith are at right now. They had a few injuries. They get Scott Sorensen back this week as well. Mitch Keeney, they get the hookers back this week. So I wouldn't be worried at all for last week. I thought they played well. But in what we can all agree was a great game of football.
Chips in Penrith minus 7.5 there at topsport.com.au. Saturday night is a corker. We've got Melbourne Storm versus New Zealand Warriors. $1.45, $2.75 Warriors. 6.5 the line. There's a little bit of a nibble for the plus here. It has gone 5.5 to 6.5. So they might have found the number here at 6.5. The total is 39.5. And there's a sprinkling for the over points. It was an interesting to see Munster out last week, but they still got the job done.
Yeah, they didn't look, and surprisingly, on the show, I couldn't have the 90% chance to play the last week. He's out again. Well, it wasn't named again this week, and no Nelson Sopo Solomon was a good return. So that, but the reasoning behind that, the tightening up of the betting line there. Great spot for the Storm. Teams off a shutout over the last 3 years, 9-10-8 against the spread. The Storm over that period covered all four times for shutout. So the defense tends to hold 14-6 against the spread when they were considered 10 or fewer. They're great at Amy. They're 14-7 against the spread when favored by 6 or more. And the key is for the Warriors, who I thought were poor last week. No chance didn't clock that again. They're 5-11 against the spread the last two seasons without him. 9-3 against the spread when he plays. He did a lot of work at the back, particularly organizing defense, moving attackers in the right spot. no CNK, no weights for the Warriors, all in stock.
It's an, yeah, 14 straight is damning. And the Pap just has a field day when he tackles the Warriors.
Pap loves the Warriors. Hasn't played in a couple of years, but he's got 4 tries in 3 games over the years. So he is all class to Pap. And there is nothing, I don't think there's one wish rugby league fan you're going to have more than to see that. The Pap crush for a try. Yes, and we haven't seen that the lock flowing on the tries coming of late, but the locks have been cut off, but let's get the tries flowing.
Outstanding. Anything over even for money, it looks value there, and you've sent it as a couple unit play too for your try scorer bet. So I'll be all over that one. Loyal Pap follower, and I'll be chasing money from last week as well after a bet on him last week. But Manly versus Sydney Roosters will close us out on Sunday. It's a Patrick's Day. You got Roosters, $1.68, 2.18 Manly Seagulls. The line, 2.5, and the total's been nibbled. I see you sent it off at 41.5, and now it's into 40.5. So thinking unders here.
Yeah, a bit of rain expected around Sydney on Sunday as well, so keep a watch on the weather there. But the under has hit in the last 4 between those 2 teams. A big under angle here, 67.5% rounds 1 to 4 underdog off a win, and 65.8% rounds 1 to 4 when a team is off scoring 36+. Look, this game opened around Pick'em, and so the Roosters have been off the map here. I probably don't want the Roosters at the price, but if this gets to 4, it'll be jumping on Manly. Manly have a great record with Turbo. We have no Turbo, of course, so. Beating the under now, but keeping a watch, but I think we're a chance to get a plus 4 on this one.
Outstanding. All right, so maybe plus 4 if you wait late for Manly Seagulls, but a close tussle and a little bit of Tommy Turbo for any time action. All right, we're going to keep it short and sweet. We'll have a little bit more banter on next week's show, and we'll stretch it out a bit next week. But big thanks from us at Little Birdie TV here, and make sure you check out Top Ropes package, $33 in the littlebirdie.live shop. It's off to a flyer, and looks like you're out for lunch, long lunch out at Orange there. You just need to put the tie on and off to the Orange Club. Is it a gentleman's club, or is it men only? What's up there?
We don't roll out of here. We're equal opportunity people out of Orange, and this just happened to be at the top of the pile. Spit, so that's how we're rolling here.
Oh, outstanding stuff. All right, we'll see Top Rope next week, but big round of NRL coming up, and looks like he's full of steam, full of confidence, and he's got some of his favourite teams there in good situation. So that's plenty of NRL chat. That'll do me for the week, but I'll be tuning in tonight to watch my Bunnies struggle against, I guess, my newly adopted second home team. The Titans are probably number one, but the Broncos rank number 2 with the local sides up here. But MG, I did get out there at Metricon, or People's First Stadium, as they now call it, watched a little bit of the Gold Coast Suns and the Tigers, watched a lot of it, stayed for the lot, and thought they were absolutely dismal, Richmond Tigers, and it was just an un-Tiger-like performance from the Richmond troops. Didn't pick up their feet, and it was just poles apart from the Tiger brand that we've seen over the last couple of years, so I think it's a really disappointing start for the Tigers, and I can't see how they're going to get anywhere near Carlton.
Yeah, it was very ordinary. You wait all season, put your plans in place, and then you find yourself down. I think it was 74-7 at one stage. So, two teams. Well, I don't think Richmond are battling for a final spot by any stretch, but definitely Gold Coast aren't a top line of club. So to go up there and put that performance in, I'm sure they've had some home truths this week. And they played a bit better when the game was all over. They had a stretch there in the third quarter where they put a run of goals on, but the game was well and truly over. So, yeah, if you watch Richmond's first half and you watch Carlton's second half come back against Brisbane, you wonder how they're going to get close. But there's a bit more going on. They've got a close history. Richmond dominated the head-to-head in the past, Scoot, and if you remember back to round one last year, they fought out a 58-58 draw. So there's got to be some response from Richmond this week for sure.
Might last a quarter. Let's have a look at the betting courtesy of Top Sport. Carlton are $1.40. That looks fat to me. $2.90. The Richmond Tigers, 15.5. The line, again, looks very skinny. And then 164.5. The Blues were terrific. They're on the canvas and they responded accordingly. Not an easy task to do. It's monumental, the last half from the Blues. And the cherry on top was Harry McCarkey, as I sometimes call him. But I nearly fell off my chair when he put the drop punt through in the last quarter to seal the game.
Yeah, it certainly made us sweat the over total there, Scoot, as well. I think we needed comfortably two goals with 10 minutes to go and had to wait for Harry McKay with a minute and a quarter on the clock from about 30, 35 out to punch that over. So, yeah, not the man you want the ball in the hands with trying to win a game or get you a result on your ticket. But, yeah, he got the job done. So hopefully for him it's a big shot in the arm of confidence and looks like he's at least going to attack the goals front on instead of snapping them from the impossible position. So, yeah, unbelievable from Carlton, that comeback, especially up there in Brisbane. The same, you know, the flip of the coin. Brisbane were poor, kicked poorly after starting on fire, and that's a bad loss, which will come back to haunt them. You know, trying to get a home final, if they, you know, miss out in a top two or even a top four spot later in the year, they'll certainly look back at this one that got away. So, yeah, very disappointing for Brisbane. But, yeah, shot in the arm for Carlton. This game, Scooty, did open round the 19th for Carlton, and the money's been for Richmond on the back of some key ins. They've got Martin, Nank, and their full forward, Lynch, who is a big part of Richmond. So just some key inclusions, and Carlton now starting to hurt on the injury front, missing about seven top liners, lose Doherty from round one. So part of the reason why there is a bit of money for Richmond, obviously bounce back factor, they can't be as poor. And the Carlton result might have taken a bit out of them, even though they'll get some confidence out of them. You don't know how much that might have taken out of them. So they might be a tad flat going into round one tonight in front of about 80,000, Scoot.
Do you think there's enough in the rain? There is some weather around in Melbourne today, but doesn't look like there's going to be too much.
No rain, Scoot. It's a bit overcast here this morning, but that'll all clear. There's no rain expected in Melbourne tonight. I still think the unders are the play. The MCG at night, last six times they've played there at night, even though a few of them have been finals, have all been under. So even though these two teams have got a history of going over, they've actually got a pretty high average of 175. I just think, the back of that last 58-58 draw and stuff, I'm actually pretty keen on the under around the 164 mark. I think that's the play. I'm going to stay out of the game in the side. I know you're keen on the Blues, and they may come out and just get the job done. Richmond are very poor, but yeah, I think Richmond will stiffen a little, be a tighter contest, and I think the play's on the under here.
Okay, so you can still get 186 for under, 164.5 at Top Sport. So MG's suggesting that you snap that up quick. Sticks, looking at Friday, we've got a good match here, Collingwood versus Sydney Swans. $1.50 the Magpies, $2.52 Swans, 10.5 the line, and 163.5 the total. Thoughts on Collingwood? Bit shell shocked against the GWS Giants. I got egg on my face. I was declaring the Pies at the +6.5, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scoot. That was the only had two plays last week for the four matches and split out for a chop. And yeah, Collingwood were disappointing. Watching the replay during the week, I think there's no panic stations in Collingwood. They probably weren't on their game as much as they should have been, but it's just poor kicking. The Giants kicked unbelievably straight, and Collingwood just missed some shockers at crucial times. And I think even though the margin was 32, I just think it flattered the Giants a bit watching the replay. I don't think there's too many problems with Collingwood. Giants are a potential top four side as well at home. They're up for the game and got the job done, but yeah, I wouldn't panic if you're Collingwood. Again, it's just, you know, two of the four games with the Brisbane losing to Carlton, two of the four games from opening round were from bad kicking. So good to see that trend hasn't changed so far, Scoot. But for this game, again at the MCG Friday night, should be a big crowd unfurling of the flag, the premiership flag for Collingwood. So that should get them up and about. And I just think I think the grounds here are the key, Scoot, with the betting. Even though I am on Sydney, I thought +12.5 was a bit big. I know it's come down just a little bit, but the MCG does worry me. Sydney last year were 0-4 at the G, and Collingwood have got an unbelievable record here, and they've won six of their last seven night games at the G. So on that stat does worry me. I'm just going to go with current form. I thought Sydney were probably close to the pick of the games or the winners last week. I think they'll bring that form down, and hopefully break their hoodoo and put Collingwood under real pressure at 0-2. So I just think Sydney are the team at the price, and I also think this will be a low-scoring game as well. I think this will be a defensive struggle. Collingwood have to stiffen their defense. Howe looks like he may come back in, so maybe a couple of dollars on the under 166 there, Scoop.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. Yeah, I thought Sydney were in almost total control. Dees gave a little bit of a yelp late in the game, but I thought it was a pretty easy watch for Sydney Swans hand. So interesting to see the Collingwood response, but they're hard to beat at the MCGs, but an unmissable game of Friday night footy and a great schedule from the AFL to put that one on, but can't add much more to that. I think you've nailed it. The next one is Saturday night, and that's Geelong versus St Kilda. $1.48 the Cats, $2.55 the Saints, 12.5 the line, and $159.5 the total. First thoughts here, MG?
Yeah, the Selwood grandstand's finally finished, good. I think they've run about a year to 18 months late. So the Geelong are expecting a full capacity around the 40,000. So they do have a massive home ground advantage, and they'll get the full extent of that on Saturday night. It's going to be tough. St Kilda don't travel down in Geelong often. And I think the last time they won was 1999 down there. So, they don't have a great history going down there. So they're up against it. And Geelong, they want to start fast as well. Geelong last 11 times have won 10 of the 11 first quarters. So you'll know early, I think, in this game, St Kilda are going to have to be switched on early. There was going to be a raucous crowd. And, Geelong will have to look to get back into after a poor last year. I think even though Geelong's missing Guthrie, which I think is just absolute key in their midfield, St Kilda injuries are starting to mount. St Kilda are missing Sinclair, the All-Australian. Headlines are Howard and Webster obviously getting suspended, so there's a few missing there. Tough to play here, Scooty. I don't really have opinion on the side, and I think the total's about right. I think just being Saturday night down at Geelong, the way the ground is, I just think this might be a bit of a slugfest defensive-wise. I'm not going to tip the under total, but St Kilda are 9-2 in their unders, so if they're going to be in the game, I just think it'll be a bit of a slug and probably not a pretty affair to watch, but interested to see. Both of these sides are probably just outside the eight for me. I've actually got Geelong closer than St Kilda, but a few people got St Kilda in the eight, so this is a crucial game for both to get the victory over the other side.
They do have an extra player on the field all the time down there at Geelong, though. The umpires give them an absolute massive go. And I will say the umpires did everything in their power last week to get Brisbane over the line. The Charlie Cameron incident in the last minute and a half where he got tackled. He had a week to get rid of the pill, and then he placed the ball on the ground. That was absolutely holding the ball every day of the week and twice on Sundays. What do you think about that? You watched the game closely, MG. Do you think that was a bit stinky in the forward pocket there?
Yeah, I think, home ground advantage, that's fair enough. The crowd getting in their ear as well.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, some of these top line players, Dusty Martin invented, used to be 360, he was holding the ball. Dusty Martin bumped that up to the 720 through the premiership years, so a few players get the bonus points, but I don't know. Scoot, I reckon overall, how bad the umpiring was at certain stages last year. I thought this year, the opening round,
first
the four
round,
games, I thought
was
that was pretty
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, free bet, I'd probably back the Cats on the umpire factor alone there, but looks very hard to split. On Sunday, we've got a corker. It's sort of the bad boys clash. It's the D's, $1.63 versus the Western Bulldogs, $2.22. Which club's the bigger rabble? 7.5 the line and 166.5 the total here. This is a massive game for Melbourne and equally so the Western Bulldogs. There's lots to play for and there's lots of storylines that are bubbling away in the press, but this will be a pressure cooker game for sure.
Yeah, I agree, Scoot. You listen to both coaches. They're both, especially the Bulldogs. Beveridge came out and said the club's flying. They haven't even played a game yet. So I'm not sure. He's trying to really deflect and, I agree with you. I think the pressure, the fallout for Melbourne if they do lose this game to go 0-2, it's not a great start how they want to start the year and losing to two decent sides as well. But, yeah, the Bulldogs will want to shake off their summer as well with a win here. I think they've got a good chance. The market hasn't moved at all. Open 7, still 7. Total still solid, 166. I find it Hard to trust either side, Scoot, from a betting point of view. I think the market's probably about right. If I was going to have a throw at the stumps, which we may do later in the week, I think Bulldogs, I'd shade the Bulldogs at the +7. I just really worries me, Melbourne's offense. They just can't put a score on the board, kick poorly again on the weekend at times. Their disconnect between the mids and the forwards with that forward line just, often confuses me a bit. Watching the replay, I can't understand how they just, don't lower their eyes and entries into forward 50 and not finding their big key forwards. That concerns me. And I just think, I think the Bulldogs, are right in this game. They've got some problems with their defense as well. But yeah, I think this match will be won in the midfield. Gorn and English, probably two of the best ruckmen in the competition. And with the midfield underneath, I think whoever wins the midfield battle in this will go a long way to winning the game. But yeah, the fallout for the loser here is going to carry that forward for a few weeks, I think, Scoot.
The blowtorch will definitely be on. MG has absolutely peppered the bookmakers with about six totals being bet for his AFL Stings package. So if you like betting on AFL totals and want to play the game with MG, make sure you sign up for his $25 per week AFL Stings package. And that's sent out early in the week. We usually fire that out on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And then there's a Telegram group that you can get action as the weekend unfolds and as weather changes and team news changes. You can get it straight to your mobile phone. So make sure you check that one out. MG, I'm going to cut you off, going to cut you short. We need to keep on rolling here. Thanks for enduring the technical difficulties. But we've got the show out. And it's just great to have a full slate of AFL and NRL this weekend. And hopefully we've tipped you guys a couple of winners and steered you the right way. But we'll see you next week, MG. Can't wait.
Thanks, Scooty. Yep, look forward to it.
Outstanding. Big thanks to our sponsors, Top Sport and Punting Form. And we'll see you next week.